The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's National New Friends Day, Tony. Do you remember when we became friends?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. You consider us friends? Really?
Oh, all right.
Do I remember?
In that case, when?
Just for the record, I love Michael Wilbon. And also for the record, you were a summer intern in the Washington Post in July or August of 1979 when I first met you. I believe that's true, right?
Do you 79? Have to mention a year? Do you have to mention a year like that? It just adds to the oldness. Yeah, but you're right.
I was
you're
already
accurate.
50 years old. No, come on, stop. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Eagles commit to Jalen Hurts. Jim Harbaugh is talking with Michigan. And Duke falls to Florida State. But we begin today with a report by Mark Stein in his Substack newsletter that 76ers GM Daryl Morey intends to keep Ben Simmons through the trade deadline with the ultimate intention to trade him to the Brooklyn Nets this offseason for James Harden, who has already declined an extension in Brooklyn and is said to be willing to relocate. Shout out Substack. Wilbon, this is a total wow. What do you think of this?
Well, Tony, it's not a total wow to me because basketball nerds, and I qualify as one, given the amount of attention I'm paying to basketball even now, but most people paying attention to football haven't been sort of privy to this conversation. That's all it's been is a conversation, but an ongoing one, that James Harden would love to go and play in Philly, that Daryl Morey, who he has a relationship with from Houston, obviously, would love to have James right. Harden come and play for him in Philly. And Tony, these conversations really can't come from Daryl Morey, of course, because they'd be tampering, as far as I know, the tampering rules. So this has been, you know, on simmer, if you will, on the back burner. And so now we get this. Stein has sort of, you know, come out with this otherwise sort of low-grade conversation. It's not a surprise. What does Philly, other than the GM, think? What does Doc think about not having a player as good as Ben Simmons or the compensation for him or some two or three pieces like him? What does the coach who is responsible for every night results think about this as opposed to the GM, who, yes, his job is to also look for the overall health of the franchise? A lot of moving parts here, Tony. Fascinating story. And I don't know what will happen, but it would mean no Simmons this year for a Philly team, which seems to have everything else to contend now.
Okay. So listen, you may have heard of this before. In your circle, this may be talked about.
Right.
I never heard of this at all. All right? And my first reaction was that James Harden has gotten sick of Kyrie Irving and is up to here no. with the drama with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant the way they are catered to by the Nets. So he would play out this season, see right. if he could get a ring, and either way, he would move on. Yes, he has a relationship with Morey that goes back to Houston. And yes, Morey treated him right. When Harden said, I want to be moved, Morey moved him. And when Harden said, I want to be moved to Brooklyn, Morey did that. He moved him there. I can see Harden being very happy in Philadelphia, playing with a big center like Joel Embiid, a basketball framework that he understands. I can see Simmons doing very well in Brooklyn because he does dirty work. He's a selfless player. He doesn't need a lot of shots. And maybe by next year, Mike, this will be resolved in terms of protocols in New York City, and Kyrie Irving can play all the games. But the wow factor to me, and I think you alluded to this, is are you telling me that Philadelphia is going to go the whole year and not have Ben Simmons and not trade Ben Simmons? And so they're going to give up on the year, or they're going to put this enormous pressure on Joel Embiid to carry him by himself?
Well, Tom,
that's what they're going to do?
But that can't be a surprise because Morey said, buckle in. He said publicly, buckle in because I'm not saying I'm going to get rid of this guy. He said that very publicly. Let me just mention one thing. You know I am not shy about being critical of Kyrie Irving. But this doesn't have anything to do with Kyrie Irving. This conversation about how interested Philadelphia and Harden might be in each other, this started even before he came to Brooklyn. So you can't put that on anything that's going on with Kyrie Irving or Kyrie, he's sick of them. No. This was supposed to be the disposition, if you heard this talking again, many of us have heard it, engaged in it, before, you know, Harden even started this season. It goes back to last year.
I'll give you that, Mike.
So, I'll give you that, Mike.
But now he's in Brooklyn, Mike.
He's in Brooklyn now,
and he's seeing how Durant and Kyrie are catered to, and he's seeing the team cave in, and maybe he's saying to himself, do I want this long term? No, I don't.
Last point, to put a point on this, we all think that if they don't win this year, it is going to come to that. Jalen Rose says every day, having been in locker rooms half his life, NBA locker rooms, big time teams, that relationships change when things don't go as they were supposed to go when you left the previous city, when you left the previous team. Relationships change and not for the better. And, you know, that points to what you're talking about. And is that happening now? Moving to the, well, NFL and or college football. Jim Harbaugh has been floated as a candidate for multiple NFL openings, but The Athletic reports he's having productive talks to stay at Michigan. Harbaugh coached this past season at a lower salary after several disappointing seasons in Ann Arbor. A new deal could restore his pay back to about $8 million per year with a similar season to this last one, plus further incentives that could get him into eight figures if he wins the national title. Good luck with that. Tone. Do you expect Harbaugh to stay at Michigan or leave for the NFL?
I expect Jim Harbaugh to do what's best for Jim Harbaugh. He has nothing to prove in either place. He has won in college. He has won in the pros. He hasn't won ultimately, but everybody knows he's a good coach. There are seven jobs definitely open, maybe eight, depending on what happens with Bisaccia with the Raiders. And I don't hear Harbaugh's name. When they say we're going to interview this guy, we're going to interview that guy, we're going to interview this other guy, I don't hear Harbaugh's name anymore. Maybe these are just people because of the Rooney Rule and Dan Quinn, you know, but I haven't heard Harbaugh. I mean, I just sort of get the sense that the steam is gone behind Harbaugh having to go to the NFL. Now, maybe the Raiders or the Dolphins or what was the other team, the one, the Bears?
Maybe
they've already contacted him on some level. Maybe they have. But my sense of this is that if he wants to stay at Michigan, you know, and they give him enough money to stay at Michigan with enough incentives, he doesn't have to leave Michigan. Now, Michigan is not, he's not on some third-rate campus here. He's at the University
All
of Michigan
true.
Where he went to school. He's a Michigan man. So he doesn't have to leave.
All true, Tony. He spent more years at Hallis Hall than he spent at Michigan. Hallis Hall would be where the Chicago Bears work and train every day.
Yep.
He's an alum there, too. It would be impossible. I would find it impossible to believe for one second that the Bears haven't had some contact with Jim Harbaugh. And it may just be Virginia McCaskey, who, if you believe the stories over the years in Chicago, that she loves him and vice versa. And you would think so. I'm talking about now. The matriarch of the Bears at, what, 97, 98 years old. Jim Harbaugh not going to take a call from her, whoever, son, right, or grandson, or person in the corner office at Virginia Hallis's. I don't believe that. Jim Harbaugh, Tony, wants to win something. And when I say win, I mean the whole thing. That's who he is. That's how we get to this place with the speculation of Jim Harbaugh. He wants to win. Tony, he ain't winning at Michigan. He's not winning the national championship. Unlikely to even beat Ohio State a second straight year. Maybe won't even beat Michigan State, which he, you know, does about half the time at best. Not going to beat the SEC. He knows that. He knows that from this last playoff Final Four. He ain't beating them, Tone. So the question is, what makes him happy? And you're right. What makes him happy? Winning. How much does he want to win, and does he have a better shot of it with the Raiders or the Bears or the Dolphins, whomever, than he has at Michigan? I think the answer to that, this is me speculating, is yes, he has a better shot in the NFL. I do.
So before we go to the next story, I'll just say this. You know Harbaugh better than I do, but Harbaugh strikes me as really good for the college game, as a rah-rah sort of guy. And let's look at the colleges he's coached. These are not football factories. This is Stanford and Michigan. These are two of the best academic schools in the country, schools you can be proud to have coached at. And I could understand if he wanted to stay. I don't think that the NFL has to make him happy. Because, again, very few people have done this. Dick Vermeil, John Robinson, Pete Carroll, Jimmy Johnson. Very few have won in both places. Very few. We move on. The Philadelphia Eagles general manager, Howie Roseman, said today that the Eagles are sticking with Jalen Hurts at quarterback. Roseman said, and I quote, "When we talk about Jalen and the growth he had, really a first-year starter, second-year player, leading this team to the playoffs, tremendously impressed by his work ethic, his leadership," unquote. Roseman said it was his responsibility to build around Hurts. Wilbon, would you build your team around Jalen Hurts?
Tony, with three first-round picks coming up, I don't know that I would. I mean, you and I, we talked on the phone during the game, and we have the exact same impression, which is wonderful fellow, seems to be a leader. His teammates seem to like him. He has a lot of attributes. The Eagles just won a Super Bowl, like, what, 4 years ago?
Does he have it?
Yep. Does he have it to get them to that place where they've been recently?
Yep.
Now, they had a mediocre, at best, quarterback lead them 4/5 of the way to that Super Bowl. So maybe Howie's right. Maybe, you know, I can draft in positions and trade and sign free agents in a way that will support him and we can win with him. Tony, that goes back to the first story about Daryl Morey. The GM is charged with the responsibility of winning both today and tomorrow. The head coach don't give a damn about tomorrow because he may be fired tonight. So the That's GM right. can say these things, and it's a different deal. The jobs are often at cross purposes. I don't think I would. Would you?
I think it's a very smart thing for the GM to say because it means that he's closer to the owner should the music stop. You will remember that the owner said, "I want Jalen Hurts to be my quarterback," and essentially got rid of the coach who had recently won a Super Bowl over who was going to play quarterback and who was not. What do I think of Jalen Hurts? I think he's a pretty good quarterback. Not great, but pretty good quarterback. I think he's sort of like Jimmy Garoppolo, that he can win. If I wanted to praise him enormously by the way he controls a game and makes key plays, I would compare him to Bart Starr. But Bart Starr had Jim Taylor and Paul Hornung. This guy doesn't
have
that. He's got running backs. And can you win that way? Yes, you can. But what you can't do, Mike, with just running backs is make up a 17-point deficit in the fourth quarter.
No.
You got to have this. You got to have Aaron Rodgers' arm if you're going to do that. So down the road, I don't know. I don't know. Let's take a break.
Interesting.
Coming up, Patrick Mahomes is more decorated, but would you rather have Josh Allen on Sunday?
And is it easier to trust Matthew Stafford and the Rams or Tom Brady and the Bucks this weekend? Toss up and answers I know you'll believe. Coming up.
He had an open man in the end zone and a DB closed from the other side and
he's got to square. He's got to square himself. He's got to have perfect mechanics all the time. Mahomes does not have to have perfect mechanics with that gun he's got.
He can throw this way if he wants.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time for toss-up. Two men enter, one man leaves, finishes the show, then gets pumped to watch Binghamton lay waste to Stony Brook on ESPN yeah. Plus. Eat it
Plus.
In advance, Stony Brook,
Plus.
And go to the CAA. See if I care. What's first?
Toss up, which quarterback would you rather have on Sunday, Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes?
I love Josh Allen. He runs like a freight train. He's unafraid. He'll get contact. He doesn't mind. He's got a great arm. He threw five touchdown passes the other week. Five touchdown passes in the wind and the snow and all of that and the cold. I think he's a great quarterback. The other guy's better. The other guy improvises more. The other guy throws with more accuracy. The other guy doesn't get hurt because he gets out of bounds or he gets down. This is the analogy I would make, Mike, that Josh Allen is the best quarterback in the county, but Patrick Mahomes the best quarterback in the state.
Listen, I would take Josh Allen on my team, the team of my life, the Chicago Bears, for the last 75 years other than Jim McMahon. 75 years, I'm just going to go Josh Allen, Josh Allen, Josh Allen, Josh Allen. But the answer is Patrick Mahomes. Because here's the thing, Tony. We've seen Josh Allen get on a roll and go three or four terrific games in this season and even last season. But then he has a clunker. And so this is, you know, what is very possible. Patrick Mahomes seems to have gotten past that point. He got off to a slow start. I wouldn't call what he had any clunkers. But I'm going Mahomes. Mahomes has a thing that even though it's dynasty of one, I don't believe in, he has one, right? Josh Allen doesn't have that
That's
one.
Right.
Patrick Mahomes does. That answers
right.
Mahomes.
That's right. Next.
Toss up, who do you trust more on Sunday, the Rams or the Bucks?
I trust the Bucks more. They're the reigning Super Bowl champions. They've proven they can get to this game and win this game. Of course, I don't trust the Rams to do that. I trust the Bucks to do that. The problem with the Bucks is they're missing a lot of people that are important. You know, Chris Godwin's not going to play. Antonio Brown is parts unknown. You don't know if Leonard Fournette's going to play and at what effectiveness. The guy Wirfs, the all-pro lineman, offensive lineman, who didn't miss a snap all year, may not play. His job is to protect Brady. If you bet on the Bucs, you're betting on Brady. What if Brady has a JV around him? That's why the Rams have a chance.
The Rams do have a chance, Tony. And if you told me that Kurt Warner and Marshall Faulk and Isaac Bruce were walking through that door, I might answer this question by saying the Rams. But basically, this is a question that is this. Who do you trust more right now, Matthew Stafford or Tom Brady? So we call a no-brainer. The answer is Tom Brady. And I know, Tony, they can lose this game because they don't have all the parts that Tom Brady needs.
That's right.
But until I know that, and until I know that the backups are substandard and can't get it done, and I don't know that, you got to go with Brady. There's only one answer. I'm not trying to throw shade at Matt Stafford, who has won his playoff game now.
No,
he's getting ready for the next one. He's where that's supposed to be. But the answer is always Tom Brady.
It's totally fair. It's one of the rare times we agreed on both questions.
That's
right. Should have agreed. That's it. Let's take one last break. Still to come, should we be surprised that unranked Florida State beat sixth-ranked Duke last night?
What an ending to that game. And will the Bulls, losers of four straight, get it together tonight against the upstart, surprising Cavaliers?
Here's the point about Josh Allen. 28 teams in the league want him.
Yeah.
He's really
That's right.
good. 32 teams want the other guy.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Hey.
Happy time, people. Happy 23rd birthday, Jonathan Taylor. The Colts running back was Wilbon's emphatic choice for MVP this season.
MVP.
Taylor led the NFL in rushes, rushing yardage, and rushing touchdowns 18. His 1,811 yards was more than 500 yards clear of second place Nick Chubb. The last time a disparity like that occurred was O.J. Simpson in his record-setting 1973 season. Of course, we would expect a closer outcome had Derrick Henry stayed healthy. Taylor's biggest game was against the Bills, ran for 185 yards and four touchdowns, plus another touchdown receiving as the Colts beat the Bills 41-15. Taylor went over 100 yards in seven of his last nine games, though not in the horrible season-ending loss in Jacksonville when he had 77. At Wisconsin, Taylor set the NCAA freshman rushing record with 1,977 yards and ultimately became the sixth all-time leading D1 rusher. He had the most 200-yard rushing games ever, 12. He was a second-round pick in 2020, the third running back taken behind Clyde Edwards-Helaire by Kansas City and DeAndre Swift by Detroit.
Tony, these nerdy people who tell you running backs aren't valuable anymore because they've got some numeric model, you know, analytics, they would look at Jim Brown and Walter Payton and Emmitt Smith now and say, yeah, you know, we can do it with a cheaper model of you. We don't really need you. I hate these people. I hate them.
Not Jim Brown. Not ever Jim Brown.
Yeah, they would.
Happy anniversary, Tom Brady. No, they wouldn't. On this day 20 years ago, the Patriots got past the Raiders after Brady's apparent fumble was overruled by referee Walt Coleman, who stated Brady was still in his passing motion, even though the ball appeared to be going backwards. Coleman invoked the tuck rule, which stated that any intentional forward movement by a player starts a forward pass, even if the player loses possession of the ball as he attempts to tuck it back towards his body. The Patriots retained possession, and Adam Vinatieri kicked a 45-yard field goal through the wind and the snow to tie the game at 13. In overtime, Vinatieri kicked a 23-yard field goal to win the game and send the Patriots to the AFC Championship game, which they would win and later beat the St. Louis Rams in the Super Bowl for Brady's first Lombardi trophy. Wilbon, the other day you insisted the Raiders got hosed in Cincinnati when that touchdown stood up. How do you feel about the tuck rule?
Yeah, I don't know, Tony. Ambivalent feelings about the tuck rule. Jerry Rice, it just freaked me out to see him on the sideline, was in that game. And by the way, there's a 30 for 30 on this. I think it airs on February 6th. And we're in it. My dear friend and now colleague, Marshall Cook, one of the producers of that. They could have found a clip, a better clip than me in a Coogi sweater. Okay? Coogi sweater, seriously?
Well, it's a little dated at this point, but it was the style then. Happy trails to last night's game for Duke. The number 6 Blue Devils beaten by Florida State in overtime last night, 79-78. This was Duke's second loss to an unranked team in the last 11 days. Previously, Duke had lost to Miami, so they probably should not schedule Florida, UCF, or Gulf Coast anytime soon. There are a couple of interesting oddities coming out of this game. This was Florida State's 13th straight overtime victory, an all-time D1 record. You can imagine an opposing coach saying to his team in a late timeout, I don't care where you shoot from or how you score, but we cannot let this game go to OT. Plus, this was the 55th time that Florida State coach Leonard Hamilton had beaten a ranked team when his team was unranked, also a D1 record. And it leads to the obvious question, why are Leonard Hamilton teams unranked?
Yeah, let's see if the pollsters will acknowledge the actual result of the game.
Big finish real quick. Klay Thompson led the Warriors with 21 in a win over the Pistons. Are you impressed?
Yes, he's getting back to becoming Klay Thompson, top 75 player of all time. Yes. Bruce Arians was fined 50 large by the NFL for slapping his own player, safety Andrew Adams, on the helmet Sunday. Does that make sense?
I saw that. It was so weird. It was just so weird. The Spurs traded Bryn Forbes to the Nuggets as part of a 3-team deal. Is that significant?
If you need shooting, Bryn Forbes is a guy you want. Yes, it could be. Could be. Dak Prescott tweeted that he deeply regrets his comments praising fans for throwing things at the officials. Your thoughts?
He said it over and over. It wasn't just once. He repeated it. What?
Yeah, he did.
Last one. Cavs at your Bulls tonight. Who you got?
We may have to eat another one, but we need to come out of this 4-game winning streak, Tone. Need to do it tonight.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. Lila Rodriguez, welcome to the world.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can see Greeny, Stephen A., Jalen and me duke it out on Countdown at 7. Nancy Remar, too many people at Harvard Westlake. We didn't get to you. Sorry. And now...
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.